If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
It's Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt. And we go live to Ukraine, and Joseph Lindsley is on the line with us, and you've set us up with another musical selection. What is this?
Hello, Wendy. Good afternoon from Lviv. This is a song by the Ukrainian band Antitla. It was from several years ago, sort of during that cultural renaissance in the years since Ukraine's 2014 Revolution of Dignity. And it's called Kino, or Cinema. And the music video is filmed in the scenic Oleshky Sands, just a huge desert in the Kherson region of Ukraine that borders the Black Sea. Really a beautiful place. This desert is not far from the currently expanding floodwaters as a result of the dam that exploded yesterday. And, you know, all of that desert is occupied by the Russians. It's filled with landmines. It's an ecological threat and disaster. And in the music video, which I posted at UkrainianFreedomNews.com, you can see the beauty of Ukraine, especially before Russia's full-scale invasion. But you also see the creativity of Ukrainians and the whimsicality of the people during that. They had 8 years from their revolution of 2014 until 2022. 8 years where they, sort of in the spirit of the Cossacks, they could sing, and this is their homeland. You know, they could be totally free here, wild and free, with sort of a temporary victory over the corrupt elites who for so long have tried to control them. And so it's nice to watch it to remember that time. But also even in the lyrics, you can hear a sense that that time of peace was not going to last. Kino, they sing, or cinema. It's all some kind of movie a long time ago. Someone is testing a new world on us once again. And then with great passion, the band sings, "We will survive everything. We will." And then they say, "Prosto malenki lude, prosto taki sujet," which means just little people, just such a plot. And I think that's really the feeling right now. If you comprehend the vastness of the floodwaters from that vast Soviet era dam, and people feel so small in the face of that flood, but also in the face of disinformation, you sort of feel like you're drowning in that. And even as you look at most of the media stories now, and even officials around the world, everyone is saying that they don't know who destroyed the dam. Right. And Russia says they're opening an investigation into what happened. But we have to understand the sort of the basis point is that Russia can make up anything. You know, that dam is in Ukrainian territory controlled by Russia. So we can never actually know. There's no free press. There's no reporters there. We can, you know, no matter what Russia says, we can never actually know what happened. I think when I talk to some American security experts who have been in Ukraine, they say perhaps Russia destroyed this dam in order to distract the Ukrainian military, to move Ukraine from away from military operations a little bit to focus on humanitarian. Because the disaster, and we're still trying to comprehend the scale of the disaster. It's going to have long-term effects on farmland, but also medium-term on human lives. And where the floodwaters are still rising in many places. But fortunately, I know many Ukrainians and foreign volunteers who are already going down to the Kherson region and Mykolaiv for rescue efforts. So hopefully that the military can keep its focus. But it's obviously a very difficult situation. And then while people are calm, there is a new sense of alertness. Around 11:30 this morning, the air raid alarms rang out throughout the entire country. Initially, it seemed that there was a single Russian MiG jet flying over Belarus. That's a standard training run that seems to happen about once a week. There's no reason to go to the shelter during such an alarm. And then, Wendy, a few minutes later, we had reports that there were 5 MiGs in flight over Belarus, just north of Ukraine. That's a first. That has never happened before during one of these scenarios. And then moments later, the 5 turned into 7. And so for about 20 minutes, everyone was on high alert. Those jets can carry the supersonic Kinzhal missiles, which really can only be destroyed by the Patriot missile system, but that requires a lot of resources. And then after about 30 minutes, the alarm ended. Usually the training run alarms are about 1 hour. So everything about this was unusual, but the alarms have ended. And the focus now, I mean, while they're still fighting in the east, of course, in the south, is on the rescue efforts in Kherson and Mykolaiv because of the dam that exploded in Russian territory.
We're getting reports here that hundreds of thousands of people left without drinking water after the collapsed dam, and 300 zoo animals died after the collapse. What is true?
Yeah, it seems so. I mean, there are stories of Ukrainians trying to rescue the animals from the zoo in the city of Novokarkova, where very close to the dam. It's still going to be hard to know, you know, how it's a very ongoing and stressful situation, and the waters are rising. There are a lot of fears, you know, with a disaster like this, there's fears of a cholera outbreak. So everyone is taking necessary precautions. And they've been evacuating many people. In fact, in Lviv today, trains were arriving to swiftly get people out of the threatened areas. And so Ukrainians are well trained at this point on how swiftly to respond to a disaster. So hopefully some aspects can be mitigated. But, you know, remember, in Russian history, they built the dam and destroyed hundreds of thousands of lives in the 1920s. They destroyed it again in World War II, killed 100,000 civilians by some estimates. And so I think, you know, it's always a reminder, Russia and will go to any length they can to win, and everyone has to be fortified against that.
Okay, we only have about a minute here, Joseph, but the New York Times is reporting Nazi symbols on Ukraine's front lines. What do you have for us on that?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a typical story of reporters who come here and see something or hear something and don't spend time to go into details, which is very dangerous in wartime. I actually have on my desk one of those patches. It was a gift from a friend. It's a gold lion with three crowns, the ancient symbol of Lviv, of King Danilo, who founded Lviv in the year 1256. He named the city for his son, whose name was Leo the Lion. So it was this ancient symbol for 1,000 years. When the Nazis conquered Galicia, Western Ukraine, temporarily occupied it during World War II, they appropriated the local symbols for the SS. Afterward, Ukrainians fought the Nazis and the Soviets. They said, you can't have our symbols. They've kept them. I think there also have been, early on, there were a few foreign soldiers who believed Putin's propaganda, ironically, about Ukraine, that there were Nazis there, and they showed up here and quickly found they were not welcome. And then the last thing on this, and it's just the reporters not paying attention and doing their research. If you walk the streets of Lviv, when people are singing songs, you'll hear everyone chanting Slava Ukraini, Heroim Slava, and then they will say Slava Nazi, which means glory to the nation. I have Muslim, Jewish, and Christian friends that say that. It's an ancient Ukrainian toast. The reporters, they walk around and they get excited. They got some clickbait scoop because they heard, you know, hundreds of people saying Slava Nazi. But that's, you know, we have to get out of our English imperial arrogance. Mm-hmm. Not everyone speaks English. That's the word Nazia, which means nation, similar to English. Just it's a different type of language. It's completely not to do with the Nazis. People here hate tyranny, I think, as everyone should see by now after 15 months of resisting it. And Lviv has become one of the most tolerant, welcoming. It always has been very tolerant. But now you have volunteers from all over the world here. And it's a very welcoming place. So that article is absolutely, I think it's just atrocious journalism in a very dangerous time.
Well, that's why we have you on the air with us, Joseph, to clear things up, because you're out there. Thank you so much and stay safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Wendy. Until tomorrow.
Joseph Lindsley here on 720 WGN.